All right, we're all set to go. I'll start with some introductions. My name is Colton Wansiller, and I am currently the interim assistant director while Trixie is on sabbatical and summer research leave. And I'm also a graduate coordinator for the center over the summer. Nick?
My name is Nicholas Kwamani, and I am currently a graduate coordinator in the Writing Center at MSU.
My name is Sharika Botex. I'm a graduate coordinator in the Writing Center at MSU.
Should I introduce myself again?
Yes, please.
I'm Lamia Bahrainwala. I used to be a consultant and coordinator at Michigan State Writing Center in 2009 to 11. And I'm an assistant professor of communication studies now in Georgetown, Texas.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So the first thing we're going to do is start collecting some context. And we have three questions here. You did just kind of answer one, but I'm going to re-ask it. And so the first question is, when did you work at the center? And who was the leadership team? So director, assistant director, fiscal officer, office assistant, anything you can remember.
I started work there in the fall of 2009 to the spring of 2011. The leadership team were Trixie and Diana, Trixie Smith and Diana Baldwin at the time. I remember some of the other graduate student coordinators as well. There was Marilee Brooks Gillius, then Travis Webster, Matt Cox, Beth Keller, who was in my cohort, Terry Chapman, and Tiffany, and I don't remember their last name. And those are the kind of the graduate folks that I remember who were in the leadership team.
Awesome. So we'll move on to our next question. So while you were working, where were center locations on campus? And if you can remember the spaces, if you want to describe them a little bit, that would be awesome.
You want me to mention all the ones that I remember, not just the ones I worked at?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, it's feeling like a pop quiz now.
Okay. So
there was, of course, the one in Bessie. Well, that's still there, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because that is my dominant memory of Michigan State. And then I remember working at the one in the business building or the business writing center. And that space was kind of dark, very plush. It's exactly what I imagine, you know, business school to look like. And I sensed that there was one in the library, but I can't really remember what the library looks like.
No worries.
Yeah. That's all I remember.
Okay. Thank you so much. And so our last question for gathering context is, what services did the center offer while you were there? So we're looking for like writing groups, workshops, anything like that.
We did workshops both in the center and in the classroom. And when I say in the center, I mean in the Bessie Center. We offered consultations for graduate students. We offered web services. So I remember in the consultations, you could also have the consultant had the right skills, like work on uploading your website, so doing straight up digital work. Graduate writing groups, I think we had those at the time. The trouble is I don't remember ever participating in things like that because it's still something that I haven't really participated in. But I have this vague sense that we did do that. And then there were some of the standard services, which I think most progressive centers have, which is, consultations which accommodate different needs, so private consultations and reduce distraction environments, that sort of thing. I think we also had consultants go into writing classes and work in breakout groups. So not the same as kind of a planned workshop presentation, but going in to assist the instructor for that specific class on what they are doing for that specific day that the instructor had planned. I seem to remember that because our writing classes had a Friday meeting, so they'd meet 3 days a week, I think Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And then on the Fridays, most instructors set that aside as a workshop day. And I think consultants came in and helped facilitate that.
Cool. Great. Thank you so much. So now we're going to start gathering some stories in our next section here. And our first question in this section is, when you think of the Writing Center at MSU's history, what comes to mind? For example, what do you think the center's most significant achievements are? Do you recall any outreach program or significant events the center had or created while you worked there? Stuff like that.
Okay. Can you repeat the first part of the question again,
Cole? Yeah. When you think of the Writing Center at MSU's history, what comes to mind?
And MSU's history.
At MSU. The Writing Center at MSU.
Okay. Got it. Is it okay if I respond based on my own personal history rather than, you can say, the center's history? For me, it's hard to separate. My first time working in the United States ever, or being in any kind of professional setting, so I was a brand new immigrant when I started working at the Michigan State Writing Center. And so for me, the center was the place where I transitioned into living and working in white spaces. And I suppose for me, because it impacted me so much personally, I really felt that that was the place where I learned kind of U.S. white-centered language with which to navigate other academic spaces. And if I hadn't had that, you know, and I remember that I did a lot of things which were definitely very jarringly different from U.S. and white-centered work ethics. And I don't know that another workplace would have been as forgiving or as accommodating. That's my predominant memory of the Writing Center. I just thank my stars that that was the first place I started working in the United States, and that was the place where I got to cut my teeth and learn how things work in Western academic spaces or in U.S. academic spaces. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. So our next question is, what is your favorite MSU Writing Center story?
My story. I remember telling you the story the last time when we were interviewing, which is that when I was the presentations coordinator, as I was learning the ropes, we would schedule people for fake presentations just so that I could learn what scheduling was like in the system, and then we'd cancel it. And usually we would tell those people ahead of time and say, hey, we're scheduling you for a fake presentation just so that Lamia knows how to use the system. The trouble is, when I scheduled a fake presentation, I did not tell the person I was scheduling them. And I also picked somebody who was not slated to do any presentations. It's a person who'd never done presentations before. And they were very worried. And they spoke to one of the presentations coordinators in, very, very concerned. And the presentation, my co-coordinator didn't know that I had even done this, so I had made sure to make things as confusing as possible for everyone involved. So I thought that was really, really fun, really funny. And then my other favorite story is not a cohesive specific moment, but I just loved eating snacks during our evening queer theory graduate seminars, which happened in the Writing Center. So we met Wednesday evenings. I think it was Wednesdays from 6 to 9 or 7 to 10, I think it was. And I remember Trixie, in her infinite wisdom, knew that we should bring snacks every week. So I remember that, and it was perfect because it was in that space.
Great. Thank you so much. So our last question in this section before we hand it off to Sharika is, during your time at the center, did any significant world, political, or university events occur? If so, can you describe the center's approach or response?
I can see that the significant event that happened that I recall was that it was the 10-year anniversary of 9/11. Or it was that year. So even though I stopped working at the Writing Center that fall, I was not there in fall 2011. I was there in the weeks leading up to it. So I remember that as a world event. I don't recall the center taking any steps for it. Again, maybe because I wasn't there on the actual date. And I mentioned when we interviewed earlier Colton about how the Writing Center decided to hold a workshop to teach all consultants suicide prevention training so that we could detect suicidal tendencies in student writing. And I had recalled it as being the reason for that being that I thought that a student at Michigan State, one or two students had committed suicide and it had been taken up as a conversation campus-wide. But you remember Trav Webster, who we were talking with last time, said that he thinks that it was because of the, you know, the suicide of Tyler Clementi, you know, which got taken up in national conversations about queer abuse. So that may have been the impetus.
Gotcha. Thank you so much for sharing. That's awesome. So now we're going to pass it on to Sharika for organizational culture.
What was one key value or practice that has been or was constant at the Writing Center?
So I think that one constant I saw was a desire to serve not just the Michigan State community, but the East Lansing community. I remember in the mission statement, it says that we are here to serve anybody in this community. So that meant, you know, undergraduates, graduates, anybody who chose to use the Writing Center. But then it said it was not just for the Michigan State community, it was for the East Lansing community. And I remember Trixie really sticking closely to that. You all know Trixie, right? I shouldn't make assumptions. Okay. So Trixie really insisted on that because we did have one consultee who would come in, you know, on a regular basis, who was very, very difficult to work with. I remember that they made their way through several consultants who asked not to work with them anymore because of kind of how combative and dismissive they were. And they were not affiliated with Michigan State, as far as I recall. They had come from another university and were living in East Lansing and were using Michigan State resources. I'm a little hazy on the details, but I remember when consultants said, you know, should we even be working with this individual because they're not affiliated with Michigan State? And I remember Trixie going back to the vision language and saying, it says here that we're supposed to be working with the community. What we can do is make sure that you don't work with her if you don't want to, but I want to make sure that they do get their needs taken care of otherwise, because it's in our vision language. So I remember that being a constant, and I use the word constant here because I remember how many consultants declined to work with this person and for Trixie to then return constantly and say, well, maybe let's work with this person. I guess that brings me to the other constant, which is it felt like a very consensual environment. So consent seemed to be a constant as well. So for instance, we were able to decline if we didn't want to speak with a client. We had a Writing Center blog, which was mostly for the your Writing Center class students to use to kind of post to get a credit and assignments done. But I remember we were encouraged to post there as well, and so it definitely felt like we had a place to voice concerns about organizational issues or bring up concerns there without necessarily even going to an administrator. So it felt like they were listening to our voices through that blog as well. I remember I've worked at a writing center in the Middle East before that, and then at the University of Texas after that, and then I'm familiar with the one at Southwestern too. And I've never seen the same kind of freedom of research that I saw at the Michigan State Writing Center. So I saw people doing research all the time, and it felt very fluid, very kind of relaxed research, where people were constantly chatting about what they were doing, bouncing ideas off of each other. Whereas I remember at the UT Writing Center, it felt a lot more rigid in the way they were doing their research. You know, if you wanted to do research, you kind of have to inform the administrator, set up this kind of formal group, you know, set some kind of process in motion. So yeah, so serving the community, consent seemed to be something that our leadership valued a lot, and then research felt really relaxed.
Yeah, it's cool. It seems like it's nice to know that there are still some continuing points in there that you mentioned, like the service to community and role to community, and definitely the idea of consent. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
How would you describe the quality or the spirit of the center when you worked there?
Are you making a distinction, Shirika, between quality and spirit, or?
Yeah, I think for me is the question asker. Grace generated the question, but as the question asker, I guess I would be more interested in, like, what would you describe as, like, the spirit or the atmosphere and the environment of working in the Writing Center space? And then if you talk to the quality, I feel like you already touched on those points. So maybe more of the spirit of the space.
Yeah, this was the most, I actually think that so far it is the place that in the United States in my 12 years here that it has felt where I've had the most non-white experiences, where I felt that we have decentered whiteness the most. It may have been that I was just such a recent immigrant that I had not internalized whiteness at that time. So I was just kind of going on my merry way and not changing my behavior. So some of it could be that. But on the other hand, I also did not face any consequences, right, for that behavior. Normally you get disciplined pretty quickly when you're acting non-white in white spaces. I did not get disciplined at this writing center. And I know for a fact I would have at the UT Writing Center, where I worked since for many years. So the spirit felt very non-white. I remember Trav in the last interview said that it felt very queer. I agree, it did. So I grew up in you know, the United Arab Emirates, and the first time I encountered the terms queer and LGBTQ were actually at the Writing Center at Michigan State. I had never encountered those terms before. It's just U.S. discourse. So it's not in many other countries, at least not at the time. So I learned about queerness not just as, you know, a sexual orientation, but as also a way of inhabiting spaces and a way of being. So the Writing Center has that spirit. And I think it did that by moving between service and research so fluidly, and it values that fluidity. So it only makes sense that it would also be it would make sense that it would be a queer space for that reason, for that fluidity. And it felt like a really safe space. It was the place I worked for a year before I became an instructor in the classroom. And I'm really grateful I had that first before going into the classroom.
Thank you. Yeah. Question three is, please describe the center's approach to hiring and or onboarding and training. They have some examples here, like you can describe the recruitment process for graduate and undergraduate consultants. I know you kind of mentioned the blog earlier that you all would do that seemed to be a part of a class or something, but anything along those lines?
I think so. Let me speak generally and then what happened to me personally. Generally, my sense is that we tend to recruit from the Writing Center class. And I know that those students get, you know, grounding in Writing Center theory and practice. And then they also have to, you know, do consultations where we observe and give them feedback and all that. So the recruitment might be a little bit different for graduate students. And I remember what happened with me was I came in with Writing Center experience from the American University of Sharjah, which is where I got my undergraduate degree. And so the Writing Center offered me the fellowship straight away, kind of sight unseen, which is what enabled me to get my graduate education. And I remember I met with Diana, and then I met with Trixie, and then what they had me do was do like a mock consultation in front of them. But there was no actual paper. I remember that the person I was consulting with didn't actually have a paper, which was odd. And I remember that being kind of the only strange moment I experienced, because I didn't really know what to do if the person didn't have a paper and it was more of a performance than an authentic consultation. But I recall that being part of my recruitment process. And I think basically perhaps what, the leadership wanted to do was make sure I knew how to agenda set and begin a consultation and understand that it's author driven and non-directive and all those things.
Were there any intentional efforts in place to recruit staff across disciplines at that time?
Yes, I remember that. Well, we definitely, I heard people talking about it a lot. So I know that there was intention. I personally was not privy to the praxis of that intention, to how it played out in policies. But I know that the intention was there and they were very vocal about it. I also know that while I was there, we did have at least undergraduates from a pretty broad number of disciplines. And I remember consultees requesting people from such and such discipline. And I remember one of the folks who, because I was the presentations, one of the presentations coordinators, I remember a couple of the people in my group of presenters were undergraduate engineering students. I do remember that. But yeah, it was still, I think, largely the majority would be rhetoric people.
Right. For question four, it asks, could you share with us about the design and implementation of the undergraduate course to train undergraduate consultants for the center? And again, I think you've kind of talked on some of this already, but any additional insights you might have on that?
I recall that it was similar in design to the UT version of the class and the AUS version of the class, where they got a lot of theory, occasionally a couple guest speakers, and then kind of like a scaffolded practice where they first came in and observed a certain number of consultations, and then they co-consulted, and then I believe they did a solo consultation with somebody observing. I seem to recall that that's how it played out. In all honesty, I may be confusing my memories from UT's Writing Center in Michigan State, but this is what I think happened with that class. Is it called the Writing Internship class?
It's RAC 395. Is that correct? The right course?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't. And so, yeah, I think that ends that section of those questions. Thank you so much for answering them. And Nick is going to go into the logistical and practical questions, I think.
All right. So the first one is, when you were working in the Writing Center, how did you organize or work consultations? Which I think our sub-question for that is, did clients schedule appointments? If so, how?
Okay. So I remember that clients scheduled appointments. They either did that by themselves, or sometimes they would walk in and you would help them create an account or schedule something for them. Does that answer your question, Nick? Or
yeah, I mean, basically, like, were there, what we were getting at, I think this is a lot about, like, the systems in place, things like WC Online and stuff like that, or were there paper appointments, or did people call to make their appointments?
Online. It was WC Online, and it was constantly being worked on.
And then, do you have any memories of your online consultations, or if they were available, how they were conducted?
I don't think I ever did an online consultation. I remember observing, have you talked to Scott Chu?
Yes.
Okay, I remember observing him doing an online consultation. I'm pretty sure it was him. He might say that he never did an online consultation, but I remember observing someone, and I think it was Scott. I did not do any myself. But the non-traditional consultations that I did were, you know, team consultations where it was me speaking with a group of folks who were all working on a team project. And then, you know, private consultations where I remember working with somebody who was working on a custody letter for kind of in a custody fight for their child. So I remember doing those sorts of consultations where they were removed from the center. They were in the little meeting room. Is that meeting room still there in Bessie? The same place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so that's my memory of how we would schedule appointments. And I remember helping people make appointments too when I was at the front desk. Oh, we had a pretty, you know, a pretty awful woman who worked the front desk, I remember. And I learned later that I think it was somebody who we were assigned to. They would just kind of circulate, and she regularly said racist things to me and a few of the other consultants. I remember that.
And you're saying she was not specifically Writing Center. She was someone in the college.
Yes, she was an administrator who was assigned to the Writing Center, and I believe that they rotated them, but I can't be sure. But yes, I remember, because I was thinking, sometimes I remember knowing that we didn't assign anybody to the front desk. So at the UT Writing Center and then at my EUS Writing Center, we had consultants who rotated that job. But over here, I remember that we didn't do that. There was a person who was assigned for at least part of the day. And so, yeah, and that person was so jarringly different from the culture of the Writing Center. It says something about the consensual nature of the Writing Center culture that this person actually stood out, as they should, in their, you know, problematic behavior. God, I haven't thought about this person in 10 years. Thank you for bringing it up, Nick.
Sorry, it wasn't necessarily a positive memory, but
no, it's kind of
it's always good to hear.
Isn't it good to remember, though, what how great a culture is, though, and when people do stand out from that culture? Yeah.
So my next question for you is, do you remember receiving or being directed to a handbook when you were hired?
I'll say yes, but not definitively. I'm hazy.
Okay. I mean, I'm guessing, so do you remember, like, training materials, but you're not sure if it was specifically what would be called a handbook, or do you think you were given something online?
I don't remember training materials, if I'm being completely honest.
No, that's fine.
I really, truly, in my soul, believe that they exist.
That I have to, a little bit of honesty and, you know, seeing through the window. This whole interview process and concept stemmed from a handbook committee because we were all, like, trying to find out what kind of training and onboarding had existed before we decided that this needed to be something that was addressed in the center. And so that's part of the reason that this question is here, is because we wanted to figure out if people were ever receiving handbooks when they were hired. So.
Oh my God, that's so ethical. It does something to me. Like, before you instate some kind of blanket policy, you want to gather information about how training happened before. That's great.
Yeah, it's been a very, very insightful process, learning a lot of things about the history of the Writing Center and how things are done. And it's amazing to be part of it. Hopefully we'll have a handbook in August that we can have both outward facing and given to our consultants. So our next question is, do you know how or who advocated for the initial creation of the center? Obviously, this might not be something that you remember. So I'm going to jump over to when the next question is, were there any people who were suspect, unconvinced, or upset by MSU's funding? I know that a lot of people have stated that Michigan State's Writing Center is very well funded. Do you remember any discussion about that, or what were your experiences when it came to that? Support from different from the college, support from outside of the Writing Center?
I recall there always being discussions about financing. I don't recall there being any panic discussions about funding being lost or taken away. And I remember that in order for the center to be able to fund consultants to go to conferences, the caveat was that we had to be presenting at those conferences. So in, I think, a perfect, beautiful world, anybody should be able to go to conferences even without presenting. But I remember being so grateful that the Writing Center was able to fund people who were presenting. So those are my recollections of funding. And I should also say that the very first conference I went to in the United States was the Writing Center. It was actually the Michigan Writing Center Conference, MWCA, Michigan Writing Center Association, and we drove up to Sault Ste. Marie. And it was all funded.
Awesome. Okay, so we have some final and closing questions.
Nick, I have one more thing to add about funding.
Oh,
remember that the Business Writing Center in the business building had its own pot of gold that the money came from. And I remember, I believe that's why the furniture was just so fancy, just faux leather everywhere, or maybe real leather, who knows. But I remember that there was a different pot of money for that, I believe.
All right. So our final questions are, is there anything else that you'd like to share about the history of the center? I mean, anything at all that you can remember or that you want to discuss?
I remember that the Michigan State Center was encompassed many ecosystems, and I felt that it was quite possible to thrive fully at Michigan State just through the Writing Center, because that is where graduate seminars took place. It's where your work took place. It's where a lot of workshops where people brought in their students took place. But it's also where I found friends, where we had a sushi eating group, where we just go eat sushi every Monday evening. And then it was also the same place where, you know, we got our funding or we did our research. So I found that it can be a place which anchors all parts of your identity. I don't know that I have encountered that at any of the other writing centers I've worked at, which I've perceived more as a place for work, and then you leave and go to your other place. So I wanted to share that. If there's some way you can, you know, get funding to create like some kind of immortality elixir for Trixie so that she continues to direct the writing center, that might be something to look into with your extra funding if you ever get it. But I felt that the leadership was really quite remarkable, quite non-judgmental, quite queer, quite focused on non-whiteness and sort of a consent-based environment.
Wonderful. Then our final question is there anyone else that worked at the Writing Center that you think we should reach out to include as part of our storytelling project?
Yes. Have you talked to Carrie Chapman yet?
No. Do you C-A-R-R-I-E?
Yes, exactly. And last name Chapman, C-H-A-P-M-A-N. Let me, I actually have my Facebook open so I can maybe even give you their email address. Okay. I feel like you should be able to find them pretty easily.
Yeah, I have the name now, so it might be easy for me to find.
Okay. Have you talked to Ashmita Gupta?
No.
So A-S-H-M-I-T-A and then last name Gupta, G-U-P-T-A.
Sorry, my cursor just jumped everywhere. Could you please spell the first name again?
Yes, A-S-H-M-I-T-A.
And G-U-P-T-A?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Then you probably talked to Donnie Sake, Donnie Johnson Sake. Have you talked to him yet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. He worked at the Writing Center. So Donnie, D-O-N-N-I-E. And last name, Sake, S-A-C-K-E-Y. And he's actually an assistant professor at UT now. So he moved down here. And then you spoke to Trav. Did you speak to Matt Cox?
Yes.
Okay. And then Mary, it sounds like you talked to Mary Lee Brooks. Have you talked to Elena Atkins-Garcia?
No, we've reached out to her, but we haven't heard back from her or Ben Goodwin yet.
Ben Goodwin, right. And then there's Min Tran Nguyen. Have you talked to Min Tran?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I have her in my Facebook. So, Min Nguyen, here we are. Okay. No, actually, I don't see them on my Facebook. I'm not sure how to spell their name, or I'm not totally sure what their last name is either, but I think their name was M-I-N-H, the dash, and then either Tram or Tran, T-R-A-M or T-R-A-N.
Okay. And I'm guessing that this was probably somebody that Trixie would remember if they were there at the same time, so we could always find out.
Yeah, I think so. And let me see who else. And I think you probably talked to Beth Keller already, Elizabeth Keller.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Beatty. Have you talked to him?
No.
Ryan and then last name Beatty, B-E-A-T-T-Y.
Awesome. Well,
is that enough? Or
that's fantastic.
Good. I've been asking some of the participants, and I know Nick told you we already asked our last question, but since you're still working in the field in academia, and I think the Writing Center knowledge we get is going to be applicable no matter where we work or go in life, but is there any advice that your now self would tell your then self for working in the Writing Center? So what advice would you give to yourself based on what you've currently learned and are currently doing to the person that you were when you were working in the Writing Center then?
Stay in touch with the people at your Writing Center. Build relationships with any Writing Centers you go to in the future, even if you're not planning to do Writing Center work. Do research, do more research at the Writing Center. It's a fertile ground for collecting data, truly, like autoethnographic stuff, ethnographic stuff, qualitative stuff, quantitative stuff, all of those things. Use all of the networking opportunities it gives you. So, you know, go to the conferences, you'll be funded. But then also meet people through the Writing Center listservs. And build connections there. It gets you into places which you wouldn't get through in the ordinary channels. Because, you know, rhetoric, you're in rhetoric, right, Sharika? So you know that rhetoric is spread across many different colleges and schools in different universities. So there's an English department in rhetoric, and then there's a communication studies rhetoric department, and then there's just rhetoric, and then there's rhetoric in American cultures. So you can find people in many different places and get to know them and have ins in different departments through Writing Center work. Yeah. So maybe that's it. But I'm happy to think more and talk with you as, you know, if I've had more time to, think about that question. So you're more than welcome to reach out to me again.